Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Now, if you would, look over in Isaiah 48. Look in verse 3. Very similar passage to the one we just read, but it says, I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. Suddenly I did them, and they came to pass, because I knew that you were obstinate, and your neck was an iron sinew, and your brow bronze. That simply means you were hard-headed. Speaking to the Jews here, you were hard-headed people. Even from the beginning I have declared it to you. Before it came to pass, I proclaimed it to you, lest you should say, My idol has done them, and my carved image and my molded image have commanded them. What God is teaching us through the prophet here, he's talking to Israel, and he says, because you're hard-headed and stiff-necked, you're obstinate, you have a difficult time believing in me, that I am the living God. I'm going to show you history before it happens in the Word, so that you can read history in advance. So when it does happen, then you'll know that I'm God. That has everything to do with our passage tonight in Daniel chapter 7. Keep that in your thinking. Began history with a plan. We're going somewhere. And because He is the living God, in order to prove to us that He is the living God, He gave us the end before the beginning. He told us already how it's all going to come out. I know it upsets you sometimes, maybe if you're going to watch a movie that you really wanted to see, and maybe your children or grandchildren had seen that movie, and they tell you the end. They give you the whole plot. And they tell you how it comes out. So it kind of ruins it for you. But that's not the case here. This becomes the source of a great blessing to us. Because we can look back in history and realize that this passage that we're looking at was written 500 years before the history that we know happened. So we know God is the God of history. He, through Daniel, told us, gave us a picture of the nations of the world before they were nations. That's amazing to me. That's why I know that this book is truly God's Word. Because only God could do that. There's been no book attacked as viciously as Daniel by the critics through the years. They say Daniel couldn't have been written at the time that it says that it was written. Because if it was, then that means that Daniel is accurate in his overview of history. And if that's true, then there's a living God. And if that's obviously the case, then as I said this morning, we're not playing church. This is real. This is real. That's how important this little book is. And Daniel tonight is going to give us kind of an overview of history. And I want us to look carefully at it. And then for the rest of the book, he's going to become more and more specific in that prophecy. I mean, even naming names, telling us what countries we have in mind, and it's an amazing, amazing picture. So we begin in verse 1, chapter 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, now this is a dream, and behold, the four winds of heaven, literally when we see terms like the four winds of heaven blowing, these are what we called the last time or time before, they're really idiomatic expressions. They're prophetic language. They had a way of communicating thoughts and ideas. But what he's seeing here is the sovereign hand of God. In other words, he's the one bringing about history, bringing about the nations. We're seeing here the sovereign hand of God now being played out. The four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. Now the great sea here is talking about the Mediterranean Sea and all those nations that surround the Mediterranean Sea. And notice what happens. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. We're going to find out later on that this is speaking of the great nation of Babylon, the first nation on the earth to rule, we might say it like this, to rule the world. Babylon, mighty Babylon. And Babylon is characterized in the word as a very prideful nation, a very arrogant nation. The kings were very egotistical kings. So it's a nation filled with pride. And its first king we know to be Nebuchadnezzar. And the idea I think Daniel had in mind is when God caused him to grow wings like a big giant chicken, and he actually suppressed or put down the pride of this great king, humiliated this king. We went through that. But that's what he has in mind here. But so the first nation, though, is the arrogant nation. It's a prideful nation. Let's move on. And suddenly, another beast, a second, like a bear. Now, the first one was like a lion. A lion is majestic as far as the animal kingdom goes. You know, he's the king of beasts, supposedly. So we got the lion, but now we have a bear. And this is meant to teach us that this nation is a very powerful nation, a very aggressive nation. And it says, it was raised up on one side. Now we know it to be, this is talking about the Persian, or we say it like this, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Medes and the Persians coming together to rule a nation. So there's two peoples involved here, the Medes and the Persians. But the Persians were greater, more powerful than the Medes. Therefore, you see this beast up on one side, indicating that the Persians are greater than the Medes. But they're both, the idea is they're both like a bear, and a bear is an animal that uses brute force. There was no nation in the ancient world as feared as were the Persians. Because when they came in, they just absolutely wiped out. entire nations of people through sheer brute strength, unlike the Babylonians. So now we have the Medes and the Persians. That was the second group that was to rule the world. So God says, writing through Daniel, first it's going to be Babylon to rule the world, and then the Medes and Persians to rule the world. Now, when we look back in history, you know what? It's accurate. Babylon came along first. Next came the Medes and the Persians. Now, remember, this is being written before it happened. This is history written in advance. There's only one to know that. And that's the architect of history, the living God, speaking through his prophet. And then look in verse 6. He says, after this I looked, and there was another like a leopard. Now, a leopard is not, it's different from a bear, obviously. It's different from a lion. A leopard moves quickly. It's very agile. And it's speaking, we're going to see later, of the nation of Greece. And in particular, one of the kings of Greece, it says here, which had its back, on its back, four wings of a bird. And I think this is an allusion here. Daniel is alluding to Greece's great king, Alexander the Great. No king ever ruling an army moved as swiftly as he did. He brought in tactics, military tactics that are still being used this very day by the military, and moving quickly and massing an army and moving swiftly across the land and taking nation after nation after nation, ultimately conquering the world, Alexander the Great. So we have a picture here given through this great prophet of God of Greece. The third nation to rule the world was Greece. And we're going to see all these by name, like I said, later on, moving very swiftly. And then it says, the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now, these four heads, we're going to find out, are four kings. When Alexander the Great died, some of his dying words were, my kingdom to the strongest. And the strongest happened to be four of his generals. And the first one was Ptolemy with a P. With a P. It begins with a P, but it's pronounced Ptolemy. He was the first general. He took Egypt. Then you had Cassander and Lysimachus and Seleucus. And that divided the whole kingdom. It was like, I think it was Egypt, Bithynia, and Babylon. They divided up Alexander's kingdom among them, four generals. So now we have four generals ruling the world, a part of the Grecian Empire. Now, another characteristic I want to put in your thinking about these nations. Babylon, like I said, was very arrogant, but there was an element of intelligence and kindness among the Babylonians. Not so among the Medes and Persians. They were very brutal people. They took other nations with force, with torture. In other words, they scared you to death. When they came in, it just produced fear in the people, and many of them just gave up. But Greece brought another element, wisdom and culture. The Greeks, they were called the Hellenists. Alexander the Great, he brought culture. They were the first ones to have a language that everybody could understand. So everybody could begin to communicate with one another under the Greeks. One language. It was called Koine, common Greek. And it could be easily taught and easily understood. And that's why God had the New Testament written in Koine Greek. So the Greeks gave us a language. They also gave us culture. The Greek women were cultured women. They were educated women. And the Greeks were educated people. I'm saying in contrast to the Medes and the Persians, and in contrast to the Babylonians. They were cultured. So let's go on. We got the Greeks now, and they divided the kingdom into four different, Alexander the Great divided it in four generals. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast. Here's number four. Now we know this beast to be Rome. And Rome is totally different than the others. Rome not only gave us culture, not only were they very intelligent people and cultured people and wise people and intelligent, but they were also tremendous military people. They had armies that, man, that those letters on the shield of the Roman Empire, SPQR, the Senate and People of Rome, very powerful. And you talk about throwing terror into the hearts and minds of people, Rome did it. Rome just conquered the world. And they're the first ones to build the roads. You know, in the ancient world, there were no roads. And when armies had to get somewhere, they, you know, many of them had chariots, but wheels had to roll and a lot of mud had to get through. If it rained, you were there. You couldn't move. They only had horses. But the Romans were wise enough to build roads. I mean hard roads, brick roads, roads where you could travel. And they came up with a way to convey food. They knew how to feed an army. They could get all that the army needed. New weapons, fresh weapons, and food to the army to get it where it needed to be, SPQR. And they also had the culture. They had the pride. This is what's so amazing about this. They had the pride of the Babylonians. They had the brute force of the Medes and the Persians. They had the wisdom of the Greeks, the language of the Greeks. But they also had that amazing ability to produce the roads and that organized army and that political system. And this is what I wanted to wax on a little bit. They're the first ones who came up with a political system, a democratic form of government. And that I kind of tipped my hand early on when I said SPQR. They were governed not only by a Caesar, that was the emperor, but they also had a Senate. And these were elected officials that became a part of the Senate. Then they had the representatives of the people. That was the House. So they had the House and the Senate and the Caesar. And between the three of those, those three groups, they governed the people. And there was no nation like Rome. I mean, they were just unbelievable. They covered the earth. And they were organized. And they had the first incident of some organized law. I mean, that SPQR went all across. And they had real law. Where if you were caught breaking the laws of the Roman Empire, you were taken before courts and tried. They had a law system. So there we have Rome. Now watch what happens here. It says, "That's the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong, and it had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet." Now here's the line I want us to see. "It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns." Now, here's what we're going to see as we finish up the chapter in just a moment. I'm going to read through the rest of it. But Rome never ceased to exist. Oh, was it conquered? Yes, it was. The Caesars were all conquered. But the Roman system, the Roman political system, the Roman military system, and all of the other characteristics that they pulled in from the Babylonians, from the Medes and Persians, from the Greeks, they pulled it all in to this Roman system. And it became the world system. And later on, we're going to see that the Roman Empire was divided into two capitals. You had West Rome and East Rome. And west, the capital was Rome, and on the east, the capital was Constantinople. And there were two different parts of the world, east and west. And you know what? They're still here this very day. And they're different. Two different cultures, but they came out of the same empire. They came out of the Roman Empire. You have East and West. Now, I heard that. I had taught that from the Word of God a lot, and I didn't really understand it until I went to India. And I saw the East. And when I stepped off of that airplane in India, it was like not only stepping off in a different country, but to me it was like stepping onto another planet. There was nothing there that was familiar to me. Nothing. Everything there was different. Different culture, totally different culture. And I felt, man, I was panicky the whole time I was there because nothing, I was struggling for something familiar that was Western, but nothing was Western. It was all Eastern. But it was still Rome. It was part of the Roman Empire. This is an amazing thing, but that was true. But notice what comes out of this system. Now, again, what I'm saying is this, the Roman culture still rules the world today. It's still part of the world system. Politically, it's still a part of the world system. Militarily, all the above. All those characteristics are still here. They haven't gone away. And out of this system will come an interesting phenomenon. In verse 8, as I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little horn, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were the eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. Now here we're talking about a human being, a leader, a great leader, a world leader. The Word of God calls him the beast, the little horn, the man of sin. He's also called the Antichrist. That's him. Now he's coming out of this reconstructed, revitalized Roman Empire. He's going to surface. He's going to come to power. We've talked about this as we're going to see in just a moment, in the book of the Unveiling, the Revelation. Now look in verse 9. I watched till thrones were put in place. Now notice. And the Ancient of Days was seated. Here's the throne of God. His garment was white as snow, and his hair and the hair on his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. Now we're talking about the throne of the living God. It's like all the cameras at all at once pan on the throne of God. Now we've been talking about the Roman Empire and all of the other empires of the world, all of the nations of the earth, predicted history, but now we're looking at the throne of God. Obviously, he's in control of all of history. He's putting this all together, and ultimately, as we're going to see, he's going to win. The court was seated and the books were opened. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast, notice, was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Verse 13, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. That's the way history is going to end. It's going to end with the second advent of Jesus Christ, the second coming, we call it. But let's put this all together. Let me just read the second half of this. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Now look in verse 17. Those great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Who are the saints of the Most High? Chris said, that's me. That would be me, he said. And that's right. That would be us. Little old us. Here at little old Glendale. 19. Then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast. See, the fourth beast is troubling Daniel because the other beasts were clear cut. I mean, we got Babylon, we got the Medes and the Persians, we got Greece, but Rome is kind of blurred. The others came on the scene of history and they what? Pew, passed off of the scene. Not Rome. It stuck around. Its military system stuck around. Its political system stuck around. It's still a part of the planet. And it's still a part of the planet even today. In fact, we get our government here in the good old USA. It's just a rehashed form of the Roman political system. We have the Senate, we have the House, and we have the President. When the fellas drew up our Constitution, that's where they got it. So reality, we're just a rehashed Roman Empire. And we really are in so many different ways. We are. But watch this now. Here we go. Exceedingly dreadful, this kingdom, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with its feet, and the 10 horns... that were on its head, and the other horn which came up before. Of course, those 10 horns we're going to find out are 10 nations coming out of the Roman Empire. But I don't want to fall off on that right now. Before which 3 fell, namely, that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms. It shall devour how much of the earth? The whole earth. Trample it and break it into pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. And another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times and a half a time. That's prophetic talk for 3.5 years. That's half of 7 years. Remember, we talked about the 7 years of Revelation. That whole book involves those 7 years, broken down into little pieces. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion, that is the dominion of the little horn, to consume and destroy it forever. To consume and destroy it forever. Here's what we're talking about. Out of this Roman Empire that's kind of spread throughout all of the earth and has been a part of the earth now throughout history for centuries, we live in this world, which is a reconstituted, revitalized form of the Roman Empire. That's where we live. And out of this empire, out of this is going to come one. We call him the Antichrist. He is going to be in rebellion against the Most High God. And he's going to make war with all the saints of the earth. But we know the end. Let's just flip over and get the end right quick. Look at Revelation 19, 19, and we'll flip back to here. Revelation 19, 19. We've just been through here recently, so you're right on the edge of your seat. You know where this passage is. We went through it in detail. And now we'll put it together. Look in verse 19, Revelation 19, 19. Now, let me give you a little background here. Jesus Christ is the rider on the white horse who's coming back now. He has the sword that's coming out of his mouth, with which he's going to smite the nations. Here he comes. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It says it right here. He is the King of Kings. So here comes the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he's coming back to take over. He has the title deed to the earth. He's the only one worthy, and he's coming back to take it. But notice who he takes it from. This is what I want you to see. Verse 19, "And I saw the beast," that's the guy, that's the little horn, "the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army." Now here's the deal. Remember, they have Israel trapped. Does this ring a bell to you? They have Israel, the nation, the Jews, about to exterminate all of the Jews. Verse 20. "Then the beast was captured," I love this, "and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two," notice what happens to him, "were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeds from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh." Now, remember all the cameras back in Daniel when they panned toward heaven and we saw the throne of God? Remember that? We're reading back there. Here's this picture of the God who's seated on the throne. And we get that etched in our thinking. Look over in this chapter 20 here and look in verse 10. It says, "The devil who deceived them." Now that's the real culprit behind the whole system. I call him the master of illusion. He's the most arrogant on the planet. He's Mr. Ego. "Was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are," because they had already been cast into the lake of fire. "And they will be tormented day and night." How long? "Forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." That's that view of the throne of God in heaven that we read earlier in Daniel. "And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now we go back to Daniel. Let's finish it up. So that's what, that ends human history as we know it. So what I'm saying is history's moving. It started with Babylon. It moved to the Medes and the Persians. It moved to the Greeks and then to the Romans and then to a fifth world ruling empire, much like Rome. It's like Rome just expanded. They conquered. They did something different than any nation on the planet. When they conquered a nation, they put up their own political system in that nation. They didn't just conquer them like Babylon and take, remember what Babylon, how they did. They took Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego back, brainwashed them, hopefully putting them back to rule that nation. Not Rome. Rome never did that. When Rome conquered you, you were conquered. You became a part of SPQR. And they put over you their leaders. They conquered. And that's the whole world system as we know it today. It's just the Roman form of, there is no new government under heaven. None. It's all Rome. Everything. Even our monetary system, our money, Everything is Rome, 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 Rome. Educational system, Rome. And out of this is going to come that arrogant, and I say he is, he pictures all of these kings, all he pictures Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, the arrogance, the pride, the ego, the bestiality of the Medes and the Persians, the culture of the Greeks. He's got it all. Wisdom. He's a genius. He's the little horn. He's the Antichrist. And he's going to come against the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to come out of history. He's going to come on the scene. But back in Daniel, look what happens. This is how it all turns out. This is why I said, I began this with saying, the end from the beginning. So let's look at the end. Here it is. Verse 27. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven, now notice this, shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. We'll have a king ruling on a throne. His name will be the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will be a part of that kingdom. We will rule and reign with him in that kingdom over the earth for 1,000 years. That's exciting to me. I know how it's going to come out. And remember, my part in that kingdom is being determined right now by how I carry out my stewardship in the body of Jesus Christ. Whether I'm going to rule over 10 cities or 5 cities or 2 cities or one little podunk over in the East End, that's probably going to be me.